Meyer Kallman's work is instantly recognizable. You've seen it on the covers of The New Yorker, maybe when you were reading your kid the book Ooh La La, Max in Love, or maybe you followed her illustrated monthly diary on the New York Times website. There's a series of whimsical paintings inspired by her daily life, things she finds on the street, scrawled with thoughts and observations, a couple of weather reports in there as well. Those entries have been compiled into a book called The Principles of Uncertainty, due out the week of October 22nd. It's a little hard to describe, but when I spoke to Meyer earlier this week, she explained what she thinks the book is and isn't. I just need you to give me a basic explainer. I was trying to explain to somebody what this book was, and I wasn't doing a very good job. So let me let you explain the book.
Oh, if I only knew what I was talking about, that would be amazing. Actually, the thing about the book is half the time I don't know what I'm talking about, and I'm allowed to say it, which is a complicated thought. But basically, the book is a year in my life of confusion, happiness, wandering about, taking pictures of people, and writing whatever sort of falls out of my pocket or, you know, or into my lap.
For example, on the back cover is this United Pickle tag that you've illustrated with a big tag, one of those sort of oak tags you see on things at yard sales, and it's got a big number 3 on it. You actually found this tag on the street?
Yeah, I find a lot of my best stuff on the street, like, you know, fantastic suitcases or incredible shoes. I don't wear the shoes I find on the street, but that would be a little bit sad. But that I spend a lot of time walking around and just waiting for something to happen. I always see amazing stuff every minute.
So how do you know when you see something that you think, okay, this is going to be a spectacular subject for a diary entry?
I don't know what I'm doing, but I guess it's curatorial in the sense that everybody's walking around choosing stuff that they love. So basically, I choose people that I love or objects that I love or buildings or, you know, music or sandwiches, you know. And I don't know how they're going to enter into my life, but I know that all of it is part of it, and then something will happen and it'll be a story.
You report the weather. There's a little weather clip before each chapter for the month of October, November, December. Does the weather affect your mood and affect your ability to write and to illustrate?
Well, the weather, I do two things in the morning when I wake up. I read the obituaries completely and thoroughly.
Just
and
to make sure it's no one you know? Or
well, just to make sure it's not me. You know, the old joke, it's not me. But basically, I think that starting the day with the obituaries is epic and amazing. And you learn a lot about people. And you also look at how old they are, and you compare to how you are, you know, like the Ross Chast cartoon. But and then I read the weather, the big story of the weather, and it's very poetic. And of course, the weather affects everybody, and you're, you know, and we talk about it a lot, of course, sometimes in a boring manner. But so I love reading about the weather, and I'd like to do a book illustrating weather.
Well, so this chronicles a time in your life between May of 2006 to April of 2007, and I thought we'd look back a year ago to the October entry, and it's mostly text on the first page. It was summer-like and sunny when you did this one.
I remember it well.
That's your weather. How do you know who you are? Half the time, I don't know who I am. Maybe even 7/8. Never mind. Forget it. Forget it. But how can I forget it? Does it have something to do with language? Everything I say, I regret saying. What if I did not speak?
Hurrah.
And then you go on to sort of describe the things you would do if you didn't speak. What are some of the things you would do if you just weren't talking for a while?
Oh, God, if only I would shut up. You know, I always take a vow. I have a family that I love very much, and I always say, okay, I'm not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to speak for an hour or a week or a month. And then 30 seconds later, they can't shut me up. So there's this constant struggle, and then, of course, I do regret everything I say. I always think everybody does, and I'm stunned when other people aren't. I ask them, don't you think everything you say is incredibly stupid? And they go, not really. So I forgot the question. But
things you would do, you suggest that we do when you don't speak, that you do with your time.
Well, I actually do spend a lot of time alone, and I spend a lot of time not speaking in my studio. So as an artist and a writer, I'm alone many hours of the day, and I'm either singing or listening to music. And I'm painting, and I'm thinking, and worrying.
Do you have a favorite month in this book? One that really sings
Well, February is I adore because it's such a difficult month, and it's called the impossibility of February, and that's when all hell breaks loose in in at least in New York.
It really does have about 37 days in February.
Yes, and they're all bleak and desperate. And there is some humor in that. So I talk about going mad and telling the truth and, you know, my mother-in-law's dress and just, there's always the sublime and the ridiculous mixed together.
And sort of the wonderfully ordinary, I recognize a diner that I like in here, Joe Jr.'s.
Oh, my God, I live there. I live across the street from Joe Jr.'s.
All right, nobody stalk Myra. She just told you where she lives.
Yeah. And actually, there's nothing better than going there for a cheeseburger deluxe and sitting at the counter and watching this energy of life go on. And that's what when I came to New York, my first memories was smelling hamburgers frying out of diners. And it was just, oh, my God, this is a paradise.
So there's this wonderful page in your book, just this beautiful picture of a hamburger with French fries. And that's what your experience was that day.
Yeah. Well, it was part of it. You know, it's celebratory. Hopefully, you try to have as many of those as you possibly can. Not cheeseburgers, but celebratory moments.
And that was part of my conversation with Myra Kallman. You can see the video version from our video producer, Wynn Rosenfeld, who put in many of the pictures that we had the conversation about. It's pretty cool, and that's on our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.
Coming up, the first ever U.S. Sudoku Championship. I wanted this to be a make-me-care because I can't care about Sudoku, but we're going to have Will Shortz here to talk about it nonetheless.
I know. Will Shortz is going to short you after that comment.
It doesn't even make sense.
Stay with us. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.